Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday, Cleveland. It is a Brown Steelers Friday. It is a Shador's your QB2 Friday. And it's a Friday on Overtime with Jake Volnick. Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11. We have Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight. I'm telling you right now, the Thursday Night Football has continued to just throw me through a loop when it comes to this show. Because we get the full, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday after being off for Monday. And we get Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday comes right in the middle and we get to Friday. I'm like, we're in full reaction mode into what's about to happen here over the weekend. And yet, it got to watch football. It felt like we had a brief weekend. It feels like a complete disconnect for me. So I'm walking in today. And like I dialed into the day, I see Shador's QB2, and I really just don't fully process the fact that Shador's QB2 until I'm in the building today. Like, I'm like, oh, not that this is like a stunning news or going to change the outlook of the game based on, you know, how you're scripting it out for the Browns against the Steelers. But I'm like, oh, they did name Shador QB2 today, and what was actually kind of a surprising move for me, the way they had operated the whole time leading up to today's news was, well, we're not telling you who it is, which gives me more of an indication that I thought you were going to go with Bailey Zappe on Sunday with the practice squad of elevation that we talked about with Daryl, back earlier on in the week. And instead, you sort of switch things around and you decide it's the route to go down. Let's just make Shador QB2, which is very odd to me. And I go through and I want to treat Dylan the same way that I treat Shador and the way that I evaluated them. And I think I've tried my best to do that when we've been going through this. But with that being the case, I have to hold firm on the feeling that I had with Dylan when he was named the backup quarterback the same way that I have to have it for Shador. As soon as the Browns made Dylan Gabriel QB2 to start the year, in my brain, that was the indication Dylan Gabriel's ready to play football right now if he has to. Might not be your desired result, but if he has to step into an NFL game, you're telling me, if you're Kevin Stefanski and you're the Browns, I am prepared for Dylan Gabriel to get into this game and handle business like a professional if he has to play, if something were to happen to Joe. Again, I have to handle the reaction, I think, the exact same way when I watch Shador get put in as QB2 today with Kevin Stefanski announces, okay, if you're making Shador QB2, you are telling me, if so, you know, it would just arise that Shador had to play into a game, we're confident that Shador is ready to go. We are confident that when he steps onto a field, he can execute the Browns game plan, and we are going to be okay. Yet, I feel like everything they've told us up to this point has been the complete opposite, which is where the confusing part rolls into me. Like, had you made, you know, Shador Sanders the emergency quarterback, I told you guys I wouldn't have agreed with the decision, but I would have understood based on everything that you had said leading into these moments of, no, he's a developmental project. We want to make sure he's fully ready. We're making sure that we're getting him up to speed and ready to go. So if he's QB3, if he's emergency quarterback, sure, there's a level of trust there. If he has to step into a game, you trust the talent, but there's still things he's working on. Okay. Like, again, going to disagree with you because I think it's important to see Shador play, and I think Shador coming out of college would have been okay to step on an NFL field, although would not have succeeded. But you're telling me now by making him QB2, he's ready to go. Like, you're telling me he's prepared to play football, which again is contradictory to everything you have told me. So this is where the confusing part steps in. It is what has changed for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry? What has changed for the entire Browns organization that has gone from protect the kid, make sure that when he gets into a game, he's going to have the full week of prep. We want him to make sure leading into his first start, he's not thrust into a situation that he's not going to be uncomfortable and not going to be fully prepared for, that when he plays, he'll be ready. What has changed from that statement, which was last week, up until now, where it's like, no, okay, Shador can be QB2. Other than the fact that it sounds like you're listening to outside noise. And I think, honestly, the hesitation part of this probably makes it worse than had you just come out and been like, no, Shador's our QB2. That's the next guy up in line. This is where we stand after trading Joe. And you had done that on Tuesday. Or you had done that on Wednesday. Either one of those. You come out and you say Shador's QB2, I'd have been like, okay. Like, there's clearly a level of trust there that, you know, might not have looked like it, but you do trust him. The fact that you delay the response up until Friday, you wait to make that decision, it draws more questions than answers. It's like, are you reacting to the fact that there was an outbreak from basically all of social media being like, why is Shador not number two? And it wasn't just social media. It was just media in general, because we have every national show covering whether or not Shador Sanders is going to be QB2, which is a ridiculous thing to talk about, by the way. But everybody in the national outlet is covering whether or not Shador is going to be the backup quarterback for Dylan Gabriel. So either somewhere in this mix, you allowed for the outside media to infiltrate the locker room, are like, oh, people are going to be really mad if we make Shador an emergency quarterback. That's going to come with a lot of backlash and a lot of things being said right now about Kevin Stefanski and his handling of the quarterbacks. Maybe we just go ahead and make him QB2. Or there was some alternative, you know, idea, thought process, motive, something here for not just making this decision right out of the gate. Whether you're trying to avoid the media blow up and you're trying to avoid Shador having to answer a million questions on being quarterback two and backing up Dylan Gabriel, there's something else there that I just don't understand. Like, I just don't get it. And this morning, Ken and Anthony sort of going back and forth. This was before Shador was named QB2 today. It was before he officially had the announcement from Kevin. But Lyme went through, and with the hesitation, with none of it being down, he told you what he thinks it makes him think that Shador and the Browns' connection's like.
I'm just assuming he's bad now. Because for the desperate franchise that the Browns are, for him to be this far back, this far behind, I got to assume he's bad.
I disagree.
We're the Browns. We need a quarterback. We saw Dylan Gabriel. They didn't trust him to throw the ball 7 yards down the field. And yet, Shador Sanders isn't even getting a whiff. No, like, I'm assuming he's bad.
I disagree. I don't think that Kevin dislikes him the way that another show said. I don't think he dislikes him personally. I don't think that he's bad.
If he isn't the backup quarterback this week in Pittsburgh, guys, they think he stinks.
And again, now we have the news. He is a backup quarterback. But the fact that it's even a debate, right, the fact that you're going through and going, do we make Shador the backup quarterback or do we just go ahead and elevate Bailey Zappe? Guys, we saw Bailey Zappe play football, okay? Not a pretty sight. Like, not going to win games with Bailey Zappe as your quarterback. Never going to happen. And I think Lima brings up a fair point. Like, look at the way that the quarterback room has played out so far. You had Joe Flacco, who you didn't want airing the ball out down the field, and you tried to play conservative, and Joe didn't look good. You have Dylan now for a week where, again, I think Dylan looked noticeably better than Joe did, and the offense functioned much better with Dylan under center than Joe. But it's not like Dylan blew anybody's socks off. I told you earlier this week, I thought he met expectations. And I think that was exactly where the bar was. Like, he did not exceed it. He did not fall short. He met expectations and landed right where he was supposed to. But if you're even debating the fact that Shador's not going to be the next guy up, I think there is almost a message there that you're trying to go through and tell you, I don't know how much confidence I have in Shador Sanders. And the developmental project stuff starts to look very real in the way that the Browns are assessing it. Which, again, I just don't understand. Like, you go through and make all these decisions and take your time with it, stir up the national media. Had you just made him QB2, people would have reacted. There would have been microphones in Shador's face, but welcome to Shador Sanders in the NFL. There's just microphones in Shador's face. That's how this works. I mean, he's QB3, and we're interviewing him more than weekly at this point in the locker room. Like, there are just microphones there. People do want to hear what Shador has to say. It doesn't really make a difference. So, again, you're putting him as QB2. You're telling me right now, I think he can play football. There's so much underlying there that, again, you just don't see with other organizations. Like, there is not this much of a fuss, even when organizations are trying to figure out their quarterback. It just doesn't make sense. And part of this comes with drafting two guys and drafting them both late, day two and a day three pick, and having them close together and carrying the fan base of Shedeur Sanders and, you know, carrying, a likeness more so to Shedeur, or more so than Shedeur, that you have for Dylan Gabriel. But there is a confusing part of this that it just feels like the answer was very clear, and it took the Browns forever to get there. But, all right, this is your message, right? Your message to me right now is Shedeur is ready to play football. He is ready that if he has to step into a game, he will be ready to operate. Now, I think you legitimately talk about, all right, well, pressure definitely goes up for Dylan Gabriel, I would think, with Shedeur now officially backing him up, because you have two guys that you want to evaluate. I don't think the leash gets any shorter. I think Dylan has a pretty lengthy leash, if we're being 100% honest about it. Like, if you start playing like absolute garbage, yeah, the calls are going to come out for Shedeur. If you start playing garbage in the game against Pittsburgh, I'm expecting the media reaction to be, let's go see Shedeur Sanders. Like, we're already sick of this. And a lot of that more has to do with Shedeur than probably Dylan. But you understand the world when you opened up. You better make sure the guy's ready to go if you're going to announce it. Like, if you're going to put him into the spot, he better be prepared to play football. And you better make sure that by doing it, you're okay with admitting to everybody else you think he's ready to play football. Because you dropped the ball on two quarterbacks in this draft, which, I'm not saying you've done that with Dylan Gabriel so far, but jury is certainly still out. But if you drop the ball on two quarterbacks, there's going to be a lot of conversations. In a year where there shouldn't be conversations had about Andrew Berry and his ability to draft players, there's certainly going to be more conversations about Andrew Berry and his ability to assess and Kevin's ability to develop those quarterbacks. So, again, you open the can of worms now. You got to be ready to live in it. You have to be ready to go through, because this is an admission. Whether or not you came out and said it, this is an admission that you feel like Shedeur is ready to play. That moment's going to be, for fans, probably desired a lot sooner than you're willing to make it, and you've opened the noise to it. As long as Shedeur is QB3, you've protected yourself from the outside. Get him into the game right now. Because, hey, inside the game, I can't do it. And naturally, I have a guy in front of him. Again, you open the door now. Shedeur is ready to go. He is prepared to play, and he is one play away at any given moment from getting into a game. I would like to think that the Browns are actually prepared for that moment. But yeah, I can't say I have a ton of confidence they are. 216-474-0092. Do you feel like this is the Browns admitting Shedeur Sanders is ready to play as early as Sunday? I would have to say absolutely yes. Again, I have to treat Shedeur in the way that I think about it, the exact same way that I thought about Dylan and the way they handled that situation. You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty more coming up for you guys tonight as well. The Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk to Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, as we do every single Friday, coming up at 8 o'clock. Get a Grips at 9, immediately followed Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We're going to get the, you know, Steelers side of things in the matchup coming up for on Sunday when we talk to Jeff at 9:20. And, of course, you got to pick one with McKenzie coming in the 10 o'clock hour as well, wrapping up the show with Heroes and Villains. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do you feel like this is the Browns admitting Shedeur Sanders is ready to play right now? We're going to get to your calls. Tristan, I see on the line. We're going to get to you, all you guys, coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime, asking you at 216-474-0092. Do you feel like this is the Browns admitting Shedeur Sanders is ready to play as early as this week? Again, doesn't have to be the exact statement that, well, Shedeur is prepared to play right now. Like, we want him to get into the game. It does have to be prepared. Doesn't have to be, we're expected and we want Shedeur to play this week. But again, when you tell me guy's ready to be a backup quarterback and he's the guy backing up my starter, there is a level of trust there that at any moment you can step into the game and we have a level of confidence that you're going to go out there and you're going to perform the duties asked of you. Tells me that there is a set of plays ready for Shedeur Sanders to go. They feel like he can operate, which you would have asked me is recently as yesterday, and I would have told you, yeah, not so sure that that confidence is there from the Browns. I feel like today it has to be. Again, 216-474-0092. You guys can jump in. Let's go out to the phones. Tristan is in Cleveland. What's going on, Tristan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I just want to lead by saying it's only because Shador is primetime son. And at the time, the league couldn't handle primetime. They didn't know what was next. But he was an excellent player on the field, and that's all that matters. So moving forward off of that, of course he's ready. Of course, that's what they're saying. And I only say that because right now, I don't know if anybody has ever realized it at this point, but Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, they love messing with the media, you know? So, like, they're controlling the narrative. Yeah, he was practicing with the practice squad while Dylan Gabriel was getting reps. Boom. Of course. That's what they want you to see. Nobody knows what's really said amongst the organization. You know? Yeah. And that's all I wanted to say, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thanks for having me.
No doubt, Tristan. I appreciate you making the call. I mean, and listen, I fully agree with you, by the way. This is something that they love to do. Like, they do love to control the narrative on the team. They do love to keep the media guessing and not have a true clue of what's going on, as much as they love to have other teams and trying to play the, you know, basically cards close to the vest and everything else.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Which I get to a degree. Like, listen, if you think it's a fun little game, that's fine. There's also something to be said about the team that loves to mess with the media, loves to keep things close to the vest. They're also the team that was 3-14 last year, and you've currently started the season 1-4. Like, playing things close to the vest and controlling the narrative has not worked for you, by the way. Like, you have still come under as much scrutiny as everybody could have possibly imagined over the past 4 years. I mean, it goes back to, you know, signing Deshaun and controlling the scrutiny with that, continuing to get scrutiny for playing him in the way that he had played and the way that you had handled him playing. And now it just leaks into another season where, one, Deshaun's still on the roster, and two, you still have everything else in the whirlwind of just, it's like you talk so much about how I hate the idea of the media being all over it, and, you know, we like to basically control the outside noise, not let it get into the locker room, and leave the outside noise outside. Yet you do a whole lot to stir up outside noise to be focused on the Browns. Like, as much as you think they would love to fly under the radar, they sure don't do anything that goes for flying under the radar. You could practically plaster the Browns on a billboard. If this was the New York Giants, this was, I mean, I was going to toss in an L.A. team there, but I feel like L.A. doesn't really support football as much as they should. Not a true dedication to either the Chargers or the Rams there as much as there should be. But, like, you take a big market team and do this.
Dallas.
Thank you very much. That is a great example, Jax. You take the Cowboys. This would be plastered at every, and it still is to a degree, but this would be the biggest media story all day long. And, I mean, it would have been run and talked about every single day for the last, I mean, go all the way back to April, right? You could be doing this for the last 6 months. It would have been the lead story every single day. And while it still found its way in there, it's like, you would never stop. You would never talk about living this down, but they know what they're doing. Not in a, they actually know what they're doing, but you understand that you're creating the storm around you. It doesn't really feel like the laying low thing. And drafting Shador is one thing, because we know I was fully on board with drafting Shador. I enjoyed it. I don't really care about the outside noise and everything that came with it. I thought Shador was a good player and worth it. And the outside noise is outside noise. Like, that doesn't bother me. But even after drafting Shador, you've gone through and found ways to continue to make this a headline, more so than you had to if you're the Browns. Like, again, it was always going to be a headline, but you've also stirred the pot in making the Browns be talked about. You would think the way that Kevin and Andrew talk to the media and the way they handle press conferences, they would not want that to be the case, but they live and die with every moment of it being exactly that. It's like, I can't run around and be like, oh, you love to play around with the media. You just bring a lot more attention to yourself, and it's great when it's positive. I would think when things are going poorly and things are going negative, you'd want to do the opposite. I feel like every franchise would want to do the opposite. It just never feels that way for Kevin and Andrew. Let's go back out of the phones. Matt is in Amherst. What's going on, Matt?
How are we doing tonight, guys? Love listening to the show. Love what the last caller had to say. I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm tired of hearing the Shador talk. I really am. There's so many other issues we as Browns fans have going on right now. We're top five in the league in drop passes. The defense, as much credit as everybody wants to give them, we're giving up a lot of points. At the end of the day, I'm done with the Shador talk. Let's give Dylan a chance. We didn't necessarily have all the talk when Flacco was a quarterback, and gotta give Dylan a chance. He saw the most plays in college, and like you said, if it wasn't Deion's son, would we be talking about this? And so that's my main point. Like I said, yep. I love listening to the show. I'm getting tired of hearing the Shador talk.
Hey, Matt, I appreciate the kind words as well as the call. Part of this is, though, like, again, if you guys think I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, well, Shador's going to draw the ratings today. Let's talk about Shador. Like, that is not how I operate this show at all. If you've learned nothing, that is not how we operate this show. I want to talk about the way that you guys, or what you're interested in is, well, what's important to the team. Like, that is the way that I base the show out. It is very much so the Browns driving this conversation with everything they've done this week. Like, the fact that I'm sitting here talking Shador and I'm talking QB2 also plays into the fact they've operated the roster. Like, I told you guys on Wednesday, this felt like as soon as you traded Greg Newsome, I'm not saying it's a white flag on the season, but you're indicating to me that thoughts are very much so, more so in 2026 in that front office than it is in getting this team ready to play in 2025. Trading Greg Newsome away for Tyson Campbell, even though he, you know, might fit well into this offense, and he is 100% through and through an Andrew Berry guy and the type of guy that he would target, you didn't get better this year or in the immediate by trading for Tyson Campbell. You didn't get better in the immediate for trading away Joe Flacco. That is an idea to get more draft capital here and in a way be like, 2025, don't care as much. So again, as soon as that happens, the shift and the push does go towards, we're looking at the rookie quarterbacks. We're looking at how these guys play. That's sort of the bottom line. Like, I'm giving Dylan a chance. I mean, I'm not saying that you're saying that I wasn't, Matt, but like, I've given Dylan a chance and I'm continuing to. Wanted to see Dylan play. Don't think he played poorly on Sunday. I thought he met expectations. I'm ready to see more of Dylan Gabriel. But like, the Browns are inadvertently punting from the front office on the 2025 year. Like, that is what the Greg Newsome trade. I think there's going to be more trades coming up. We're going to talk about that later on. I think there's certainly going to be more trades waiting in the wings in the following weeks that are going to continue to give you more and more of a thought that the Browns are not focused on this year and pushing towards 2026. Okay, you've welcomed the we need to evaluate the quarterbacks conversation. Part of that is on the Browns as well. Let's go back out of the phone. Sam is in Cleveland. What's going on, Sam?
How you doing, sir?
We're doing pretty good. How are you, man?
Y'all show and everything. I'm fine.
What do you got?
To talk about that Shador statement, I think he's ready. You know, I don't take nothing from Dylan Gabriel. He's looking all right to me. You know what I'm saying? But when you look at the preseason games, did Shador look bad to you in either of the preseason games?
The second one, it definitely did not look great. The first one, I thought he looked pretty good.
Right. And that's something you would expect out of a new quarterback coming in. to play. But like I said, I think he's ready. And like I said, I don't take nothing from Dylan. It's just that I don't know. It's just a lot of politics with it, with the Cleveland Browns, and I don't understand what they're doing. They're playing around, and you know, to me, I really liked Flacco. You know, from the last time he was here, I don't even know why they got rid of Flacco the first time. But you know, I don't know what it is. It's just a lot of politics with this stuff, and it's really getting on my nerves. They need to figure out who they're going to have QB1 and QB2. Him being QB3, I don't think that was right for him. You know, if you pull Flacco, he should have moved up to QB2 from the get go. If you felt like Flacco wasn't doing his job, it should have been Gabriel, it should have been Shador, and then Flacco. You know, I just don't know what Cleveland Browns are doing playing this quarterback game.
And it feels like it's been the conversation, and Sam, I appreciate it. I mean, like, and to a degree, I'm not against Joe being the backup quarterback last week. Like, you're thrust into a short week where you don't have a ton of practice. Yes, that impacts Dylan, but if something goes wrong, having Shador be the backup that week and potentially get into the game, if you want to take a break off of that and go, maybe we wait a week on this, I can understand that. Again, my problem comes in this week when you're walking into Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going through the beginning of the weeks and not going, Shador's QB2. Like, again, where is the conversation? Like, why are we legitimately having a conversation about Bailey Zappe being higher on the depth chart? You can tell me developmental quarterback, we want to make sure we're protected. You can tell me all of that. That never becomes a conversation, it feels like, anywhere else. You want to go in the start, like, hey, Jackson Dart was, you know, behind Russell Wilson to start the year because they wanted, I'm sure, to give Jackson Dart a little bit of time before he had to step into the spotlight and give Russ a chance to prove what he has. But it was always going to go to Jackson Dart at some point. Okay, that's fine. Same way you operated with Dylan Gabriel. All right, you give Joe, the veteran, a chance to go prove himself. Did it in 2023. Now, when it comes time to move to Dylan, you move to Dylan. Like, I understand that, but at some point, like, you just put the more talented player, the player that you, A, want to see more, and B, have a truthful hope has a better opportunity to turn around your franchise and has the higher ability to do so in the proper spot. Like, it is a no questions asked. The fact that you're even debating a fourth quarterback in the mix on this after getting rid of Kenny Pickett is absolutely absurd. Like, it should not be part of the conversation. It should have been as simple as, well, you sat down and you went through the roster and you said, all right, we don't want Joe anymore. Who's the next guy up? It's been the next guy up. It's been Shador Sanders, the guy that steps in and should move up to that spot. I don't understand, if you're playing media games, if you're doing anything else, what the true motive behind waiting to name Shador the backup quarterback is. Like, I for the love of God, I hope that decision was made earlier in the week and they just decided not to tell the media about it. Like, I hope Shador was notified he was QB2, because God forbid he has to step into a game on 2 days' notice of, hey, you're the backup quarterback, and you've been practicing with the practice squad players this entire week. Again, I hope that decision was made ahead of time, because if not, you talk about setting a guy up for success, that feels like the complete opposite. It feels like you'd be setting Shador Sanders up for more failure than not. You want to give the guy the best opportunity? Be confident in the decisions you make. Show a little bit of trust. If you're going to show that trust eventually anyway, show the trust right out of the gate. You drafted him for a reason. You didn't draft him in the fifth round to be like, oh, maybe we found our backup quarterback. It's not why you draft Shador Sanders. We are all very aware of that. Show a little bit of trust in the guy that you actually selected. 216-474-0092. Do you feel like the Browns are admitting Shador Sanders is ready to play? Well, I just don't get the delay of QB2. We're going to get to a couple of your guys' calls as well. The station buzz here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. Coming up here in about 18 minutes. We're going to talk to Lance Rice on thecleveland.com as he joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. And we have the station buzz coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But I was throwing the phones out to you guys at 216-474-0092, talking about Shador Sanders as QB2. Feels like they're admitting that he's ready to play. Let's go to Adam is in Green. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, Jake. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm confused. I think that... Actually, let me ask you a question instead of making a comment. Do you think there's anybody out there that does not want to see Shador play?
You're saying it all this year?
I'm saying period.
Yeah, I mean, I think few and far between. Like, I'm sure they're out there, but I would say the overwhelming majority does want to see him play.
So that's what I don't understand, is we've gone through this whole entire process. We've picked up guys, free agents, then we've traded them, and then we picked up a third-round quarterback, and then we picked up Shador in the fifth round, who was projected to go in the first round, and it's just been this circus. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to see Shador play because they think that he can play, and whether or not he's a franchise quarterback, I don't know. But I think he deserves a chance, and I don't understand why it's being held back so much. And I think that it's the Browns' history that is holding him back. We can go back to Johnny Manziel that, you know, Mr. Football didn't work out. We go back to Baker Mayfield, which they made a huge mistake on because they played him for an entire year with an injury, and they don't want to make that mistake again. So they're holding back from playing a kid that seemingly has all the capability.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
To be the quarterback of the future, and they just don't want to do it because they don't want to make another mistake. And in this business, you can't do that. You have to, if you're investing in somebody, and I think the majority of people, probably over 75%, would have said, let's take Shador over Dylan Gabriel, would say now we're looking at the opposite of that, and we took Shador way late, and now we're just now saying, okay, he's our second string, and will he ever get a chance? I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense. We're always trying to be the smartest people in the room, and when it comes to the end, we're not.
Yeah, and Adam, I appreciate you making the call. I mean... So there is something, like, I think buried in this. Everybody wanting to see him. It's not like we're sitting here in crazy town, okay? Like, it does make sense that we want to see Shador. Now, I don't have a problem with Dylan being out there first. If that's a guy you feel like is truthfully more ready to go. But again, the entire principle for me comes back to the fact that you don't draft Shador Sanders unless you think there is a sliver of a chance, if you're the Browns, that that can be a franchise quarterback. Right. And again, I think the entire situation has to play out for you to answer that question in, like, okay, well, you went and you traded back. You got the first rounder next year. You drafted two quarterbacks. Like, you knew the situation you were putting yourself in and the limitations you were putting on the quarterbacks you drafted this year. So, like, it's not that you thought, well, Shador can be a franchise quarterback if we give him 3 years to develop. Just, you're not in the business of waiting 3 years for your franchise guy to develop. Like, right now, I think if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you can tell me, I think Jalen Milroe can be a franchise quarterback and also continue to sit him for the next two seasons. Because you have Sam Darnold. You paid Sam Darnold to play football, and you gave him a contract that lined up maybe when you think Milroe would be ready to take the reins. I'm perfectly fine with that. You don't have the guy in the room right now. You put a one-year limitation. You don't have, like, had you signed Darnold, Geno, I think even Daniel Jones to an extent. Like, you could have made it work where you go, yeah, a guy could probably hold me over for 2 to 3 years and it will probably be all right before we're drafting another quarterback or seeing the rookie play. Like, the idea was that Shador would be ready at some point to play this year and could be your franchise quarterback this year. If it's anything else, I question heavily why you draft him in the fifth round. Like, what is the actual point behind it? So I think it's important to see Shador play this year. Unless Dylan just lights it up and looks like a franchise quarterback, it is important that Shador actually takes the field. So nobody's crazy. I can get waiting, but it's not like you can wait till the final three games. Like, Shador does need a runway here. Like, he does need an opportunity to prove himself. So as much as I think there's a long leash on Dylan, we can't act like the leash is 10 games long. Like, I can't see 10 games of Dylan Gabriel if he looks the exact same way that he's looked in week one and go, yeah, I mean, he's not playing himself out of a job. No, at some point, not playing at a franchise level is playing yourself out of the job for this team specifically. If you're not in a playoff spot or directly and very closely fighting for one, you just make the change because, well, that's not franchise quarterback. We'll keep Dylan around because we think he's a good quarterback, but not a franchise guy. And then you see Shador play. Like, there should be a level where you see him play this year. There should be a level of confidence being displayed by the Browns that I don't think we're getting. All right, let's leave that there. We're going to talk to Lance Risen coming up here at 8 o'clock. But right now, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz. All right, plenty to talk about surrounding the Cleveland Browns, and let's take a look at what the game on Sunday might look like. Jason Pinkston, former Browns lineman on today with Afternoon Drive, he talked about what a win on Sunday might mean for the team if they're able to take down the Steelers.
It gives you that confidence that, you know, things are working out, you know. It's starting to turn for the right direction, and, you know, no one thought that we would trade Joe Flacco this week, but things have happened, so I was sitting back this week, and I was kind of confused on the plan, on what was happening. You know, I think a win could really change the direction for us. You know, we have some very favorable games that we can be had, that we can win versus the Dolphins and Jets. We just need to get a win. Just a winning solves everything, and a win would really help, you know, the continuity of the team, the bonding. We need a win. We really do, really bad.
I think Jason makes a really good point here. Like, I don't know that if, like, all hope is lost after this week. I mean, your chances to make the playoffs, yeah, probably. But in terms of having the locker room bought in that you're trying to win right now and not just punting on the year, I don't necessarily think it goes out the window if you lose this week. If you were to lose to Miami, it goes out the window. Like, if you start 1-6 and you drop to Miami, the idea that this team's focused on winning and has the ability to win it all this year pretty much flies out, and I think you lose the locker room entirely. So, like, a win this week would be big, but I think when we're talking about the next 2 weeks, you have to have one. Like, there cannot be two losses in a row with this team, and in understanding that the veterans in the locker room are going to stay happy and stay content. You're looking much closer to 2024, where you have Miles requesting a trade, you have guys that are completely checked out of that locker room and don't want to be there and don't want to progress on a 3-14 season. Miles will tell you, multiple other of the veterans will tell you in that room, last year was basically hell. Like, they were going through, and there was not a ton of positive vibes happening in that team. The idea this year was to shift that focus. You're quickly losing that if you're making trades that take away players who are performing well on your team and turning them into assets that you think can produce in the future and not winning football games. Like, you have to be able to keep this group together. I mean, it's integral for actually rebuilding this team. The veterans do have to stick around. Like, guys like Miles, guys like Denzel have to be bought into this team. I can say it's pretty easy for Miles to stay bought in with the $40 million a year rolling in. I think for guys like Denzel, even guys like Grant, who's been recently paid in Delpit, I don't know that it's that simple of just, yeah, we're happy to come to work every day. New contract might smooth you over. Those guys are, you know, a couple years now removed from actually signing that contract. Doesn't feel like it stays the same. Brian Bacco, Post-Gazette over in Pittsburgh, also on today with Afternoon Drive. Feels like the Steelers, 5.5-point favorites. Still not enough.
Kind of the external factors that are out of both teams' control. The Browns have to come back from London. The Steelers just had a week to rest and recuperate. The Browns have to come on the road after that. They are seemingly holding a fire sale out there in Berea. Andrew Berry's working the phones and shipping off key players to anyone who will take them for, you know, maybe a 30 picks better in a draft. So I wonder what that does to the psyche of a team. And then you get into the actual X's and O's and schematics. The Steelers are really good up front when it comes to getting their hands on football. They've already had some interceptions this year on guys like Sam Darnold and Drake May because they tip passes up in the air and they're coming down with them. Now they face Dylan Gabriel, who's, what, a shade over 5'11 in his first true road game in the NFL. I think it's going to be a rough one for him Sunday.
I don't know that I can subscribe to the end of it. Like, I just don't know that rough game for Dylan Gabriel inside of this offense really exists that much. Like, I think there's more to be had from Dylan if you're talking about, can he play better than he did against the Vikings? Yeah, I think so. Can he play much worse than he did against the Vikings in this actual offense? I mean, sure, it's available, but it basically goes down to missing your easy passes within 10 yards that are wide open. I don't know that I expect struggle from Dylan. I don't know that, like, maybe Pittsburgh's able to force a turnover in this game. We're going to talk to Lance about that a little bit, but, like, I just don't know how much worse it looks. But you are right in thinking, I don't think the Browns win this week. I don't know that the line should be that much different, but the Browns are in a very bad position when we talk about the schedule going from one into a team coming off a bye. The offense hasn't looked great, and the Steelers have done nothing but win so far. You're telling me it's a 5.5-point spread. I'm looking slightly crooked at Vegas. I'm like, I think the Browns have a chance to keep this game close. I don't know that everybody else really has a chance, or should think that there's a chance the Browns keep this close. I'm supposed to be the positive one. We're supposed to be the positive ones. Doesn't feel like everybody else. Real quick, Nathan Zagura, Browns Radio Network on today with Ken and Anthony in the morning. On offensive production and what the playmakers need to be doing.
So far, it has been a slow start to the season. And when you're an offense that is in need, right? And that's what we are. We are an offense in need of productivity, in need of scoring, all of those things. Outside, really, of Quinshon Judkins, this is an offense right now where you need your playmakers to just go make plays.
Honestly, like, Kevin Stefanski is never going to be the guy that gets Jerry Jeudy involved early. Like, it's just not the way he operates. He's much more a developed to the scheme type of guy. If you're open, you're going to get the ball. Jerry Jeudy needs to do something. Like, I know you're not extending the ball down the field, and that's where Jeudy thrives. You need to be able to do something and find a way to contribute in this offense the way that they're currently slated. Because two catches for 15 yards out of my wide receiver one, not cutting it. Like, I need some help in that department, and it's probably not coming from Isaiah Bond. As much as I don't think he's a bad wide receiver, he's been up and down. Certainly not coming from Jamari Thrash or anybody else in that room. Jeudy's got to be the guy to step up. You want to be a wide receiver one? You want to be considered one? You need to act like one. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, joins us every single Friday at 8 o'clock. He's going to break down the Browns' chances against the Steelers, the quarterback situation, and a whole lot more right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.